You're listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
We don't get fooled again.
Welcome back. ESPN 1000, the station that Adam Abdallah ruined the end of The Irishman for everybody. 312-332-3776. Chris, why did Abdallah ruin the end of The Irishman?
Because he saw dead people, and at the end of the movie, he actually is the one that stood up and walked out of the briefing room because he was Kaiser Soze. So he just ruined everything, and also the Titanic sinks.
They don't
make it. So that was in
the
in,
boat sinks.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Yeah, and Ghostbusters is also, it's not real; it's fiction.
Really? Wow. Just ruined my day. 312-332-3776 every Tuesday at 10. We get to talk to our guy. His name is Dan Orlovsky, 12 years in the National Football League, and he joins us now. First of all, I have a question. Did you have to dress like an Eagles coach today with the green tie and the black jacket?
No. I mean, full disclosure, and no shocker here at all, but my wife picks out the clothes that I wear. It was funny. Our neighbor is a massive Giants fan, and he came up yesterday as our kids were getting off the bus. He's like, I've noticed a little bit of a difference in you. You started the season on Mondays, you'd wear a bunch of green ties or green shirt, or like you've been wearing less green lately. And I think my wife heard that, being from Philadelphia, and wanted to make sure there was some green out there today.
There you go. So you got it covered. All right. So last Thursday, we're all going to dive into our turkey, and we settle in on the couch first, and we watch the Bears squeak by the Lions 24-20, but with their back against the wall, 90 yards away, Mitchell Trubisky was outstanding. And, of course, everyone, you know, the haters, well, it's the Lions. Well, I went back and did a little research and looked at the numbers Patrick Mahomes put up against the Lions and some of the other good quarterbacks that they face. And all I said was, look, I'm not telling you Mitchell Trubisky belongs on the first team All-Pro list, but when he had to, he played his ass off last Thursday. What did you think of him in Thanksgiving action?
Big-time throws. I mean, big-time throws. Like, real throws, too. These weren't throws where, like, oh, that anyone could have made that throw, or that guy was wide open. I mean, they were big-time throws that were challenged his accuracy, challenged the anticipation and then the decision-making, challenged his ability to change the kind of tempo or trajectory of a throw. So I thought it was his best game of the year, just throwing the ball-wise, and that comes off of what I thought was 2 weeks ago the most confident he's looked throwing the football. So this is 2 weeks in a row he's looked better. He's looked more confident with the football. He's been more decisive with the football. He's watched his feet. He's stepping into throws much more. So I thought they did a nice job of getting him on the edge a little bit. But he made some throws when they needed to.
So as you watch that team, and I know they beat the Giants and they beat the Lions, not two world beaters, teams that aren't going to the playoffs. But I said this morning, don't let them win on Thursday now. Don't let us win Thursday if they beat the Cowboys here when at night the wind chill is going to be in the low 20s or in the high teens. And all of a sudden, if they win that game Thursday and they get to 7-6, they're going on the road to play a Packer team that they're having a good season, but they're not invincible. What do you think happens, Bears, Cowboys?
Yeah, I talked about this a little bit on SportsCenter because I think your point is super valid. And listen, this comes down to one massive matchup to me, and I think it's going to determine who wins the football game. This is Khalil Mack versus Tyron Smith. To me, that's the matchup. Whoever wins that over the course of 65 plays, whoever wins that individual matchup more one-on-one times than the other is going to have a long track in determining who wins this football game, because Dak Prescott in this past game has taken off. And it's taken off for a couple of reasons. But one of the reasons is because the level of Tyron Smith is playing at right now, like the comfort that Dak has in the pass game and in the pocket, because he knows on his left side there's a big X on whoever's playing defense over there. But you want to see a guy that, you know, raise the level of the team and raise the level of the secondary, Khalil Mack, who has not had the year that people kind of coming off of last year, and he's had moments but has not had the dominant, consistent year. If he goes out and dominates Tyron Smith, and that's not meaning he's going to have 27 sacks, but dominates and owns him and pressures him and forces the Cowboys to think about it a little bit, the linebackers are going to run to the ball more. That run game will be a little bit minimized. And then the secondary can have the better chance to cover a really talented Cowboy receiver group. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that will go to determining it, but the most important to me in my eyes is that one-on-one matchup.
Yeah, that matchup should be interesting. And if the Bears are able to win this game on Thursday, they then get Akeem Hicks back. That becomes a massive addition.
That's huge. I mean, and that's something that hasn't been talked about. I think we talked about it right away when it happened. It's had tremendous impact on the team. Because, you know, as an offense, I got one less guy to worry about. I can now truly focus on making sure 52 doesn't wreck my football game. And with Akeem Hicks, if he can get back healthy and be the impactful player, I think I said that I thought he was as important to that defense as Khalil Mack was. And I know that's outrageous, but I think there's some validation to it. Like, as important, maybe not as good of a player, but just his impact is so massive. So it's crazy. This is why in August I said this was going to be the best and wildest season in the NFL, because we don't really know who's going to be good and who's going to be into the end and all that. And teams were so kind of even keeled. And, you know, the Bears, you know, 3 weeks ago were dead. And now, you know, if they go out and play their best game of the year and their quarterback plays his best game of the year against a bad defense with Tariq Cohen attacking those linebackers and Montgomery attacking those linebackers, you could be sitting at, 7-6 and kind of in the conversation.
So what is the key to beating Dallas? Because I watched the game last night and the Bears got help from Seattle. Bears have already beaten Minnesota once, and now the Vikings lose last night. And I looked up, and the first 52 plays, when the game was still in doubt, they had run the ball more than they'd thrown it, 28-24. So what is the key for Chicago?
Yeah, Tariq Cohen and David Montgomery have to have 14 catches, 12 to 14 catches. The Cowboys are very talented defense. And those linebackers that they have with Leighton Vander Esch, who has missed some time because of injury, but Jalen Smith are great, but they're not good in coverage. And the Cowboys aren't super exotic. The Cowboys like to play cover two. They like to play some cover three, and they like to play man coverage. They like to play man coverage because they want to create some pass rush opportunities to get guys one-on-one. And so that's coverage. And if you can get those linebackers having to play two good backs in the pass game in coverage, they can't. It happened against Green Bay when they went down there, I don't know, 7 weeks ago, and that was the blueprint. You utilize jet sweep motion in your run game to get, because those linebackers are so aggressive that they go to what their reaction tells them to. They go to movement. And so you get the jet sweep should be a big part of the run game, get those guys seeing things horizontally and then utilizing the run game against them, and then the pass game, all kinds of pass game, whether it's the screen game, maybe it's to throw the ball to the flat quickly and utilize some picks. You can get downfield in the pass game against them with the tailbacks. The tailbacks in the pass game have to be a massive part of their offensive success.
So in listening to Mark Helfrich yesterday, the Bears OC, he said that one of the huge keys, because Dallas's front seven is so aggressive and so athletic, he said Mitchell's going to have to use his feet more. We saw him play on Thanksgiving Day. He ran out of bounds one. The one he could have turned upfield and gotten a first down, he went to the ground. We don't know if he's protecting his shoulder, if he just didn't realize where he was on the field. He didn't really address it. Do you think Mitchell running is a big, important part of what he can then do in the pass game?
Well, I think you just have to go look back to Thanksgiving, look at what Josh Allen did. It's not necessarily running. It's situationally doing it. Like, Josh Allen is probably one of the better third down scrambling quarterbacks in the league right now. It's when you do it that hurts that defense. It hurts any defense, but when you do it and you have the capability, you know, we've said this for so often about Mitch Trubisky, some of those third down scrambles where he's so good at them last year, he's had some moments this year, that's when the legs would come into play the most for me. I don't think it's designed quarterback runs or necessarily a ton of zone reads. Sprinkle those in. But it's really the situational stuff, third down, some red zones where, you know, again, they like to play man coverage. If you're going to play man coverage, your back is to me. I've got to be willing because of some pressure, and they don't have great discipline in their rush lanes to utilize some feet.
You know, as I watch these different games, I watched Russell Wilson last night, and I know he's only 5'10 or 5'11, but boy, oh boy, he changed my mind this season as I watched him week after week. that you don't have to be 6 foot five. You don't have to be 230 pounds with a rocket arm. You just got to know how to play football. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely. And even that, I don't know if it's ever been fairer than the climate that we're in the NFL right now, with space and coaches being a lot smarter. You know, Seattle does something that gets really underspoken about with Seattle, and we see it with the New Orleans Saints as well, is they minimize, because the height is a real thing. Like, that's not something that is fabricated. It's a real thing. But they minimize it by how much they create throwing lanes with their play-action pass game, or just their subtle drop-back game where they'll move the pocket. Like, I often reference it to being like an accordion. If you just get up and put your hands under the center and you go tackle to tackle, I don't know, what is it, like maybe 6 yards long is a pocket, tackle to tackle. And if I just drop back straight, well, it's going to stay 6 yards long and go to 5 and 4 because the pocket's going to get restricted by those tackles. But watch what Seattle does. Watch what New Orleans does. They will expand their pocket or their tackle-to-tackle distance by some of their play action, and that opens up those throwing lanes. So when I snap the ball, the pocket goes from 6 feet to, or 6 yards to 12 yards, and it is like an accordion where it opens up those throwing lanes, and it's way easier for quarterbacks to see. That's why Russell Wilson has had such profound success, is they're very aware of it, the same with Drew Brees.
You know, it was interesting. They went to a 6 offensive lineman setup, yep, so that they could run the football. I don't know if the Bears have ever tried that. I don't know if Matt Nagy would ever consider that. But boy, oh boy, that looked like it was a huge, huge move by Pete Carroll.
Yeah, it's smart. They've done that for a while, Seattle. Now, there's benefits and there's negatives to it. Like, the benefit is obviously another big body, not only in the run game, but in the pass game, right? You don't send that guy out for pass routes because, one, his number's not allowed to, and two, it doesn't make any sense. So a lot of your six-man protection, it's 5 offensive linemen plus another to make 6, where if you don't have him in the field, the 6-man protection is 5 offensive linemen and a tailback. A lot of people think that you lose a pass receiver when you do that. You don't, not if you're smart, because that 6 offensive lineman stays in for protection and you put your back out into the pass concept. He no longer is part of the protection. So it's really good by Seattle. There's some tendencies to it as well. Like, how often are you actually dropping back and throwing the football is something you have to be very conscious of. But it's really smart that the way Seattle goes and does it now. You got to have the guy that can. It's a guy that Seattle moves him a lot and stuff. But if you have a 6th man to do it and you trust that they're smart enough to handle some of your drop-back protection potentials, it's really good.
We're talking with Dan Orlovsky, who joins us each and every week here on Cap and Company. Let's go around the league a little bit. Where are you on the Green Bay Packers? I know they just dismantled the Giants down the stretch, but that was a close game in the second half. Do you feel like Green Bay's playing their best football? Do you feel like Green Bay's a bit overrated? Look, they're good, but I don't think they're all that.
Yeah, they're overrated. I actually sent a note to our Get Up producers this morning saying, hey, Green Bay's quietly struggling. Their pass game is struggling. Their running the football has been struggling. Especially, they're just like, if they don't go play action pass, they're struggling to complete passes. The receivers aren't getting much separation. Now, the play action game is working still relatively well, but Aaron Jones has been quiet over the last month. Their defense is not very good. Like you had mentioned, that was a 3 or 4 point game with like 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, and Rodgers made a huge play on 3rd and 20 or 4th and 20, I think. So, I think that the Packers are a good football team. To be honest with you, I like the Vikings more than I like the Packers. Just the overall, think teams that I think are better, and I know the quarterbacks, all that stuff. But I think the Packers are a good football team that is very beatable.
Who is the team or teams that you look at and think, well, if the playoffs started today, my money's going on them? The Ravens have to be on that list, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I don't know if there's – can you bet against the Ravens? No. Can you bet against the Chiefs? No. Can you bet against the Seahawks? No. Can you get it into the 49ers? No. Can you get it to the Cowboys because they're talented? I mean, there's so many teams that would not surprise me if they got hot and stayed healthy and went on a run. New England, this is a great year for the NFL. A couple of teams that I'm just like, I've been warning people that don't sleep on these football teams, like Tennessee and the AFC. And I know this isn't a conversation for the Bears, but don't sleep on Tennessee. Like, Tennessee's got a great blitz package on defense. Their running game is violent right now with Henry. Tannehill's been remarkable. I think he's 5-1 or 6-1 as a starting quarterback. And then in the NFC, I don't know if there's an NFC team that, like, I'm super cautious on. I still think, like, because of the NFC East being so bad, it wouldn't surprise me if either Philly or Dallas got hot, started playing good football and got a couple turnovers on defense, and they got hot this last month and then become a very difficult out once whoever gets in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch this game on Thursday because Philadelphia has talent. I'm not, you know, all in that Dak Prescott's this amazing player, but he's a very good football player. But boy, oh boy, if the Bears defense does what they did in Minnesota earlier in the year without Akeem Hicks, they shut down Dalvin Cook. If they can have that type of success against Ezekiel Elliott, there's no reason they can't win this football game.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a incorrect narrative around Zeke. Like, people are saying he's not, you know, Zeke's not having a good, I mean, he's top 5 in rushing right now, or top 6 in rushing right now. He's averaging 4.5 yards a carry. They have not handled situations well or football games well with some of their play calling. Obviously, last week, they threw the ball almost 50 times unnecessarily. So, Zeke's having a good year. The big thing with Dallas's offense is, you know, they're so good on third down. That's what they struggled with against New England. They struggled with against Buffalo. Is if you can get them off the field on third down, they are a extended drive offense. It's not really a big play offense. They like to go on drive, 8, 9, 10 play drives. So find ways to get off the field on third downs as a defense. You give yourself a significantly better chance, and also make somebody outside of Amari Cooper. Like, Amari Cooper's been begged up, but, you know, challenge Michael Gallup or challenge Randall Cobb to beat you over the course of 4 quarters on third down.
So who are you picking on Thursday night? What do you think happens in this game here?
Man, I've been down on the Cowboys all year, and I've been down on Chicago, being honest. And the Cowboys have not beaten. They've beaten one team this year that has a 500 or winning record. I don't think they've even done that, actually, since Philly's 5-7. So the Bears would be their first win against a team that is a 500 record or a winning record. I think the elements play a big part in it. I want to say the Bears. I don't see Dallas losing 3 in a row. I think they're too talented. I'm hoping I'm wrong. Let me say that because I know this is Chicago radio. I hope I'm wrong. But I think that the Bears got to show me that they can win this football game before I choose them.
Well, Ezekiel Elliott said this morning that the anger that they're playing with spilled out on the practice field with some trash talking and some chippy play. We just have to go out and play better football. That sounds to me like a frustrated but motivated team.
Yeah, I mean, part of me is like, I've been a part of teams that were 1-13 and had the same stuff going on too. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't really care what you're doing on the, like, Cowboys, go win a football game. Go, like Jerry Jones said it, go win a game that you have to go win. I haven't been high on them all year. I've been outspoken about it. I think they're a good football team. So this is not an insurmountable task for the Bears by any means. Use home field advantage. Play good football. If they play good football, they don't need to play a great game. Go play good football. Have your quarterback make some plays and get a turnover or two. Easily can win this football game.
Hey, man, have a wonderful day.
Thanks, bro. You too.
All right. See you, brother. There you go. That is our guy, Dan Orlovsky from ESPN. You see him on Get Up and on SportsCenter, and 12-year NFL quarterback. And he just brings a really good perspective. He is really good at analyzing and breaking down what he sees, and he watches a lot of tape to do it. 312-332-3776. We play our fun game, Shot, No Shot. It's all coming up next.
That's why I say him and I
Shot, No Shot. With David Kaplan on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say
Shot, No Shot, brought to you by the wonderful people at Lou Malnati. 61 locations and counting. Number 62 opens December 11 in Fox Point, Wisconsin. That's right. First one in the Cheese State. check them out at LouMalnati's.com to order online, find a location near you. And you can also order their Taste of Chicago packages to ship for Christmas. That's right. They are going like hotcakes. Check it all out again at LouMalnati's.com. And Northwestern football and basketball, they are Chicago's Big Ten team. Season and single game tickets are always available at NUSports.com. Danny.
All right, gentlemen, for the Bears to make an improbable run to the postseason, Mitchell Trubisky will have to lead the way. I ask you, shot or no shot, he can do that.
Shot. Shot. Absolute shot. I'm just telling you. He can absolutely step up, make big boy throws. He's got to get help from his coach.
I would hope so. He's a starting quarterback in the National Football League.
Please give specifics as to why you think that's possible.
Because I think he's trending in the right direction. I think Anthony Miller's playing better, giving him another target. Obviously, Allen Robinson will attract the most attention. And you've got Jesper Horsted, at least, who could try and make some plays in the passing game, unlike your guy, Adam Shaheen, who's now on injured reserve. So I think Mitch has enough weapons. He's got to get some help from his coach. They've got to run the football effectively. James Daniels has been better playing guard, where he just goes out and hits people in the mouth rather than all the other stuff that goes with being a center. So, yes, shot.
Well, Danny, the brilliance in your questions always lie in the way you ask it. So specifically, you're saying shot or no shot, will Mitch Trubisky lead the way if the Bears make the playoffs, right? Am I listening to you correctly, hearing you correctly?
Chris, you are an A-plus student when it comes to shot or no shot.
Okay, so to answer that question, it's a no shot. And I see what you're doing there, and I understand what Cap is saying, but for this team to make this playoff run, Trubisky's not going to lead the way, so it's a no shot. It's going to be the defense, Akeem Hicks getting healthy, Khalil Mack playing like a top five player in the NFL, and this defense shutting down the next four opponents starting on Thursday night against the Cowboys. That's going to lead the way. And if anyone on offense is going to do it, it's going to be David Montgomery. Because why? Matt Nagy has realized in December you have to run the football, and all of a sudden this rookie that we were so excited to see run the rock is going to do so, and the Bears' running game will improve. Thus, everything else in the passing game will also improve, and the defense will lead the way. That's the answer. It's not Trubisky. He's not going to lead the way for this team to get to the playoffs. No shot.
But David Montgomery can only do it if he has his coach's blessing to call the plays.
Well, yeah, obviously, but this is the time to do it, right? This is the time to finally figure it out. Give him 25-plus carries. Allow the defense to get tired. Then use play action. Get your quarterback out of the pocket. Hurt the Cowboys. What are you doing there? Did you just fumble like you're Trubisky in the pocket? You just fumbled a football that you were throwing to yourself
I fumbled.
The studio. You have a little football in your hands. You were throwing it to yourself. You just fumbled it onto the mic.
I dropped it.
Back to you, Danny.
Let me just tell you, run the rock. Run the rock. Tote to mail, baby. Go ahead, Danny.
All right, well, I'm glad Chris mentioned the defense. Let's get to that stout and powerful defense. The Cowboys have scored 30 points six times this season, which is tied for the second most in the NFL, and they are 6-0 in those games. They are 0-6 when failing to score 30, and they're one of two winless teams in those situations, the other being the Bengals. Dallas has managed to go 6-1 this season against teams that are 500 or worse, which the Bears are, and they've averaged over 32 points in those seven games. So I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, the Cowboys will score at least 30 points on this dominant Bears defense.
Yeah, no shot. No shot. Now, are you counting that, like, if there's a fumble scooped up and run in?
If the team scores 30. 30 points.
Funny, but we had a bet 2 weeks ago when he...
That was different. Well, that was an offensive bet. I don't understand what you don't grasp about the bet. The question was about the Bears' offense scoring points.
If the team scores the points.
No, Cap, listen to the questions. I know a lot of times, what does Hoodie call it, where you break the fourth wall? Let's break the fourth wall. When I ask the questions and Chris answers, you're so busy on your computer and you're texting and you're looking off into space. Let's be honest here. When I ask asked that question we made the Polar Plunge bet on, it was specifically about the Bears offense. Thus, the question should be, will the Bears offense score? Now, in this question, I said the Cowboys have scored 30 points. That encompasses the whole Cowboys team.
But you then said, will they score 30 points or more on this vaunted Bears defense?
Yeah, will the Cowboys have 30 points?
That's not how you asked it. Take that.
But
They will not get 30 points. They will be very careful with what they do offensively, the Bears, in terms of their passing attack. They'll do all they can to try and protect Mitchell Trubisky. Will have to use his legs to evade the rush, and the Cowboys will not score 30 points. Offense, defense, special teams, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
I don't smoke. Danny, to answer your question, if you look at the way this game's going to break down, don't you think that the Cowboys will use the plan that we've seen many times this season against the Bears defense, run the football? The same thing that we're telling Matt Nagy to do on offense, except for the fact that they probably have one of the three best running backs in all of football, Ezekiel Elliott, running the football for the Cowboys offensively. So can the Bears stop the Cowboys' run game? That's going to be the key to this game, because the Bears' defense still really good, but if they can bleed the clock and run the football and allow Dak to be good down the field, I feel like it is a possible shot that the Cowboys score 30 points or more against the Chicago Bears. Now, to win this football game, obviously it has to be a no shot. For the Bears to win, they cannot allow the Cowboys to get to 30. But if the Cowboys get to 30, a shootout between the Bears and the Cowboys are going to win that.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's a no shot if you believe they're going to win. If you think the Cowboys are going to win this football game, then it's a shot. I'm giving you both answers, but I feel like I've backed up both statements.
Now let's talk about the Cowboys defense. The Cowboys defensive front is, quote, elite, elite, elite when it comes to pressuring the quarterback, and that is according to Bears offensive coordinator Mark Helfrich. The Cowboys have 123 quarterback pressures, according to Pro Football Reference, ranking them sixth in the NFL, and they have 32 sacks on the season. So I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, the Cowboys have Mitch on his ass at least seven times on Sunday.
No shot.
Not sacks. I'm not talking sacks. I'm talking hits and sacks combined.
What about quarterback slides after he runs for a first down? A Bears first down.
You're talking
that.
Pressures, hurries.
Pressures, hurries deal. On his backside seven times on Sunday.
Yeah, no shot. No shot.
Yeah, I say no shot.
They're going to get
you
the ball.
You know the Bears'
O-line
stinks.
They're going to get
the
ball
out. And you know the Cowboys'
quick.
Front four are great.
Yeah, they're going to get the ball out quick. I'm just telling you.
Well, yeah, we heard you. We heard you say it. So, yeah, we know you told us.
Not going to happen. No shot.
I say it's a no shot because I think the Bears are going to take advantage of the aggressive nature of that Cowboys front four, and they're going to find a way to run screens, dump offs, get the ball out quickly, like Cap is saying, to the wide receivers. Look for Allen Robinson, Patterson, a little Patterson jet sweep action. Cap, I know you love that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say no shot.
All right, let's move on to the Cubs. Addison Russell was not tendered a contract Monday night in the first major roster move of the Cubs offseason. In a statement by Theo Epstein, he said the decision to not tender a contract to Russell was simply because the role we expected him to play for the 2020 Cubs was inconsistent with how he would have been treated in salary arbitration, meaning basically it was a baseball decision. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, the decision to not tender Russell was solely based on his role with the team on the field.
Yeah, I think that they feel like they've done all they can to help the young man, that he has been a lousy player since 2016, less than lousy, and that combined with he doesn't have a starting role, we're not paying $5 million for that. So it all went together.
Yeah, it's a shot. If he was still a shot. Really good player for the Cubs and in Major League Baseball and an up-and-coming superstar at the shortstop position, I think that that's where you would see him still in uniform. But clearly, if you add in all the baggage that comes along with his crappy play on the field, yeah, no shot.
Maybe I asked it poorly. My question was, if Addison Russell was the same player right now that he is, but he never had the domestic violence stuff,
they still would have let him go.
Would they have tendered him the offer?
No,
because he's not good.
He's a bad player.
He gives you a little glove action. That's it. He's a minus at the plate.
And he's the guy that went to Jesse and said, yeah, I got to do a better job learning the signs. You're in your fifth year, kid.
Yeah.
See, I disagree with that. I think if it wasn't for the domestic violence stuff, if he was the same player with that type of glove, what's $5 million? When you know what he was in 2016, so you know that there's a higher ceiling.
This is 2020 this season.
But I'm saying there's a higher ceiling to Addison Russell than we saw last year. He had a lot of stuff on his plate. I'm saying if it wasn't for that, and listen, I don't want to forget about that, and I'm glad he's gone. I wish they never brought him back in the first place because I didn't think he deserved a spot on this team after that all went down. But I think that Theo Epstein saying it was all a baseball decision isn't 100% true.
Yeah, I disagree with you. His numbers have stunk. Yeah, no. Even if you take the domestic violence stuff out of it, no. He's not good.
And in my opinion, this is a year too late. Jeff Passan wrote on ESPN.com, quote, the Chicago Cubs have been, according to various executives, aggressive, manic, motivated, and obvious in their desire to trade someone or someones. The Cubs are going to make a move. They're not just sure who yet. Shot or no shot, the Cubs will make a major trade next week during the winter meetings.
Yes, shot. I first of all believe we're going to see the thawing of the free agent market. We're starting to see that already. You saw Grandal to the White Sox. You saw Moustakas go to the Reds. You're going to see more. They're saying Anthony Rendon could be moving towards a deal potentially this week. Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburg are meeting with the Yankees. I think you're going to see a lot go down in San Diego. I think the commissioner's made it clear. Guys, enough of this. We need to get our sport back. And so when we're there, I think it's going to be busy and things are going to happen. Not just for the Cubs, for everybody, but they will make a move.
Are you saying that the hot stove will actually have heat this year?
The hot stove will be cooking.
Yeah, because last year was a waste of everyone's time.
Cold stove.
Does it worry you as a Cub fan that this report from Jeff Passan says that the Cubs are manic, obvious in their attempts to trade these players? I mean, that doesn't, to me, as someone, if you're trying to negotiate, you're trying to pull off a deal, it doesn't seem like they're coming from a place of power. It seems like that if everyone knows the Cubs are going out of their way to move these players, that they're going to get ripped off.
It seems out of character for Theo Epstein. The words manic and obvious seem so out of character for Theo Epstein.
Yeah, but in the end, he still has to pull the trigger on the deal. So if a team really wants a good player like Chris Bryant, unless they give him what he wants, he's not going to make the deal.
Danny, to ask your question, I'm going to say no shot because I'm not going to believe that baseball is worth paying attention to in the winter on their cold stove until I actually see some heat. So actually bring me some deals, bring me some major free agent signings next week, and then I'll buy in. But to this point, the last two off seasons, we've seen absolutely nothing take place during the winter until we get close to spring training. So, I mean, the way it used to be, how everything got done in the middle of the winter, and it was fun to talk about until we had to worry about spring training later in the spring, that's gone away. So prove it to me. Make some deals next week.
Dave,
what you're saying is teams were told that they need to get the attention of sports fans here in the month of December and in January, so they need to bring it next week. Then actually do it. Make baseball worth talking about next week.
Agreed.
All right, last one quickly. 51-year-old Gary Sheffield casually hitting bombs while smoking a cigar was all over social media last night. I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, that feat is really that impressive.
Yeah, shot. He's 51 years old.
He was using a metal bat.
Doesn't matter. It was in a. It wasn't like it was a 200-foot fence.
It wasn't a major league ballpark.
Those were bombs. Bombs. And he never took the cigar out of his mouth until after he hit the ball. Then he just blew a nice smoke ring and got right back in the box. I thought it was cool.
Really? I mean, he played baseball for how long? He's almost a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. He's a World Series champion.
Mm-hmm.
He hit home runs in the majors. Lots of them.
Yeah.
You're impressed by that?
Off dominant pitching, not with a metal bat.
All right.
I thought it was cool. There's a reason it got 795,000 views.
It's viral. Cool. Right. That's the reason because it got a bunch of views?
I thought
you know
it
how
was
many
cool.
things I can point to that got a lot of views?
Do you think it would be cool if I took a video of Tom Waddle, who probably has the greatest hands in Chicago Bears history, Akeem Hicks, do some homework. If I took a video of Tom Waddle playing catch with my oldest son, Avery, with a Nerf football, and he was holding scotch in his hand, and Waddle was able to catch the Nerf football, would that be impressive to you? Because it's the same thing.
You dropped that comparison in our meeting.
Same
that sounds
thing.
Like you're a hater
thing.
On Waddle.
Same thing.
What are you, Akeem Hicks?
No, I'm not hating Waddle. I'm saying him playing catch with a Nerf football, catching it with one hand with scotch in the other hand, would be an easy feat for Tom Waddle because he's that tremendous of an athlete and that good of hands.
Oh, my God.
Nothing impressive about hitting home runs with a metal bat and a cigar in your mouth.
Kat, did you see the video this week of the guy that runs around the corner and then people are like, why is that guy running? And then a guy in a T-Rex costume runs behind him and then people drop their groceries?
Did not.
That got a lot of views.
Got 12 million views.
It's pretty cool. It was a video.
I just thought
media.
The Gary Sheffield one was cool. I did. Right. Danny was a hater on it from the moment I brought it up to him.
Yeah. Big deal. It's a metal bat. Who cares?
It's a metal bat. You could hit a home run. Not you. Chris could hit a home run with
no
the metal bat.
Dingers. He could.
Oh, dingers. Yes, he could.
Please. No chance.
Yes, he could.
Please. Okay. That's a no shot. No shot. All right. We've got to take a quick timeout. What needs to happen for the Bears to make the playoffs? Don't let us win on Thursday. That's right, I said us. Don't let us win on Thursday. We'll talk about it next.
Carmen and Yurko.
Bears football in just 2 days. They got Thursday Nighter coming up.
They got Trubisky.
We got Miller.
Robinson.
We've got players making plays.
Let's get it done.
Kyle Brandt at 12:30, plus last night's Bulls and Hawks game. See you at noon for Crosstalk on ESPN 1000.
Thanks, boys. Welcome back, ESPN 1000. Few things for housekeeping here. You know, there's a massive game in town tomorrow night. Do you know that, Chris, Danny? Are you aware? Even have an inkling?
Are we aware? The question is, are you aware?
I'm going.
Well, what is it? Tell us and we'll tell you if you're right.
Number 10, Texas Tech at Wintrust against 8-0 DePaul.
Yes, how come DePaul at 8-0 can't crack the top 25?
They got others receiving votes. You're right. They are not in the poll yet. This is their best start in 30 years. 30. I think it's awesome. They've won at Iowa. They beat Boston College. They just won at Minnesota. I grew up going to DePaul games. My late father is a graduate. We had season tickets forever. And the last few years, they've just fallen off the map, sadly. And so my boy Guff and I are going tomorrow night. I'm jacked.
To answer Danny's question, how does an 8-0 team at this point in the season not be ranked? KenPom has them as the 57th best team in the country.
Wow.
So obviously if you win a game like tomorrow night against a ranked opponent, that could get you
rock it up a little bit.
Right. But right now I think it's a wait and see approach. No.
Right. But winning at Iowa, good one. Iowa just beat Texas Tech over the weekend. So I'm excited, man. I am. I think it's time for DePaul to start cranking out a good basketball product again. So hats off to Dave Lato. It's been a long time coming, but he's got this thing on the right track this year. It's good to see. So I'm excited to go tomorrow night, and hopefully they can win.
Chris and I are going to go to the DePaul game also.
Really? Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Thanks for inviting us with you and Guff. We're not going to invite you when we go.
We'll sit somewhere else.
That's fine.
We'll let you know about it.
We're
going to see DePaul. DePaul take on
UIC, I think, in a week or two, right?
I was thinking Butler, Chris.
Okay, we can go.
Why don't you go to the DePaul Northwestern game?
Yeah. A little tailgating before. You want to tailgate?
That's a Saturday night, isn't that?
I don't know.
12:21.
12:21 is a Saturday.
I believe. I'm going to pass on that.
Cap, you going to wear your coaching gear to the game?
I am not going to wear those bike shorts, bike being the company, B-I-K-E, that I did in that picture. No, I am not.
No, I'm just what picture? I'm just saying you used to be a college basketball coach. Are you going to wear your sweats? You know, when you go to the Final Four and you see all the coaches
They're all swishing
back and forth, It's all the coaches migrating towards the coffee bar.
That's
so
correct.
Are you going to wear your coaching gear to the game?
I will not.
What if they need you?
That's too bad. I'm going there.
Too bad.
I'm going there. I'm going to have a cocktail and I'm going to watch basketball. I'm just going to enjoy it.
Can we do this year for 2020? Can we have a week where you just come in as Coach Cap?
Yeah.
You just dress like a college basketball coach each and every day?
Done.
All right, sweet. Now I'm looking forward to 2020.
Done. Let's map that out, and I'll dress in coach's gear. Like, not just like a pair of Lululemon warm-ups.
No. Like, real coach's gear.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Danny, 100%. You in to watch this?
Yeah, I love to watch Cap and his coaches. I'm still caught up on him saying he's going to have a cocktail. I know for a fact what a lightweight you are when it comes to drinking, and you almost never drink. So when you say things like, I'm going to have a cocktail, you really don't mean it. And then I get stuck on that like a speed bump.
Danny.
Like, why would you say you're going to have a cocktail when you're not?
I drink almost every day.
No, you don't. You drink water.
I drink wine.
When you say ask your wife, you have an understanding, an agreement with Mindy that if I say to somebody, ask my wife, just go along with it. Yes, you do, and that's why you're laughing. Ask my wife always means she will lie for me. That's why you're laughing. It's factually speaking.
That's pretty good, but
how are you getting to the game tomorrow?
I'm taking Uber down in the morning, and I'm taking my buddy Darman home.
You're driving somebody home? Without a car?
Yeah, I like to have a glass of wine. I'll have a cocktail at the game. It's not an on-campus
You're
arena.
The guy that orders wine at a DePaul game.
No, I'm getting a cocktail,
I'll have the plastic cup of the Pinot Noir, please.
No, I said a cocktail.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on, I have a little Irish in me, Danny. 312-332-3776 is the phone number. By the way, MJ on Twitter says, I was delayed because I'm listening on the TuneIn app, which is a little behind. But at D. Zetterman clearly said they would score 30 on the Bears defense. At the Capman, you are correct, though. Thank you, MJ, for backing me up. Take that. 312-332-3776. Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic talks NBA and Bulls buckets with us next.